State Representative District 14. Our first candidate is Josh Wilkinson. Josh Wilkinson is employed by Texas A&M University Libraries as a library associate. He resides in District 14 and has lived there for 12 years. Mr. Wilkinson earned his Bachelor of Arts degree in history from the University of Houston, Clear Lake. He is married to Aaron, and they have two children, Sydney, who is 18, and 12-year-old son, David. Our second candidate is incumbent Representative John Rainey, and he serves as our state representative of Texas House District 14. He's a business owner of Texas Aggieland Bookstore. Representative Rainey has lived in District 14 for 58 years. He received his Bachelor of Business Administration degree in marketing from Texas A&M University. Representative Rainey is married to Elizabeth, and they have two daughters, Beth and Laura, who are both married, and the Raineys have seven grandchildren. Back to you, Scott.
Let's do opening comments. First, Josh Wilkinson.
Good evening. Thank you for your time. It's an honor to be here. My name is Josh Wilkinson, and like you said, I've lived here for 12 years. This is my home. This is where I've decided to raise my family. I love this community. I love this state. But one of the reasons I decided to run is because I've seen a disconnect in this state between the haves and the have-nots, those who care about health care and public education and those who don't. And I don't think there's a well-thought-out plan to tackle those issues in terms of state priorities. And one of the things that troubles me most is this notion of tribal politics that has developed. And we have big challenges ahead, and I would like to see us tackle these things together. You know, like in the old days when guys were elected, they would go back to governing for everybody, and I would like to see that again.
The opening comments of Josh Wilkinson, now John Rainey.
Thank you very much, Scott, for having this event with the Chamber, and I'm pleased to be here. I think this is my about fourth time to be on this kind of a panel. I would say one thing before we get too far. I'm about to have number eight grandchild, and that makes life better than actually they're better than the originals because they go home. But they're very fun, and I am here to represent you. This is representative government, so I need to listen to you more than I talk, and I'm happy to do that. Education is an important issue, particularly workforce training and vocational and technical training. They're very important issues to me, and I look forward to working those in the next session. I worked on them before, but we'll continue to work on those. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be with you, and I look forward to next session.
We'll start with you, John. First of all, as we've discussed with the other statewide races, there's a shortfall in a pretty dynamic economy that we have here in Texas simply because we don't have enough money in the pensions for the retired workers and also the teachers. Property taxes is a problem. We heard Representative Cassell not comfortable with his own governor's plan for a 2.5% property cap. So you're a little bit more urban in your district. What's your feeling about that? And then we'll come back and address overall property, but let's start right there with the 2.5 cap.
Well, absolutely. And education is probably the most important issue that we have. If we have an educated workforce, then we don't have some of the problems that we have otherwise. For instance, workforce training, we have people who are not capable of doing any kind of job. They pull a lot of Medicaid. I hope to help them get jobs so that they're not pulling that money away from education. From the standpoint of property tax, we need to find a solution, but it's not in limiting it. Local government does a whole lot better job than we do at the state, and we do a whole lot better job than they do in Washington. The property tax is a local issue. It ought to stay at the local level. Houston doesn't have the same problems that Bryan College Station has. Bryan College Station doesn't have the same problems that Madisonville has. Let's let the local people vote to make sure their government works the way they want it to.
I don't know if I heard you say how you felt about the 2.5 cap.
I'm opposed to it.
All right. Josh?
Well, like Meg Wall said earlier, I kind of disagree with the premise of the question. We have high property taxes because the state refuses to properly fund education to its a former level that it's had before. And you know, we say that Texas has a dynamic economy. We're doing really well, but we are held hostage by these powerful entities that don't want to see their taxes go up. They threaten to leave, and they refuse to invest in our communities, in our state. And we've left a lot of money on the table because of that. We've permanently decreased the franchise tax on those businesses that make $1 to $4 million. We haven't sunsetted any tax exemptions like the high cost natural gas fees, and we haven't closed the equal and uniform loophole in the property taxes. And if we do those, we would have more revenue to address education and other things.
All right, I want to come back. Let's start with equal and uniform, because we discussed that before. Your thoughts again. We all take advantage of equal, or we all can take advantage of equal and uniform.
Correct. I don't have any high priced attorneys to help me out on that. When I go to the assessor, it's just me, but and I'm able to compare my property to other properties near my home. Big businesses are able to use those high-priced attorneys, and they'll compare their property to somewhere else in the state where property values are much different, and they're able to use their power to intimidate local tax assessors into lowering their fees.
Okay.
So if we change that.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to go on, because you mentioned sunsetting some other tax laws.
Correct.
A little more detail there?
Well, you know, when fracking was considered an expensive project, the state rightfully put in tax exemptions to keep it more profitable. But now it's much cheaper and more profitable. We can sunset those exemptions and have, you know, higher taxes from them as well.
John Rainey, I want to go over to you, because you did spend some time in appropriations. Now, that talks about taxation, this very thing. And so the questions that Mr. Wilkinson brings up are pretty interesting.
Well, we really don't do anything about taxes. We do about spending.
Yeah.
And so I can tell you that the appetite for taxes in the Texas legislature today is almost nil. So I don't know that we're going to do any tax increases. I would like to touch upon the $1 million exemption. I think it's up to $5 million on can't get the word. But anyway, on the taxes that businesses pay. And let me tell you, just because you have $1 million in sales doesn't mean you're making $1 million. That's the biggest thing I can argue about. I know exactly what it takes to make a small business run. And when you're taxing a small business another $7,000 or so on $1 million worth of sales, that cuts into it. So any small businessman that's not doing more than $1 million is struggling to keep his business going. I know that is a fact. I don't know what we're going to do about taxing, but I keep going back to, let's educate the people so that we're not spending all that money. 31% of our budget goes to Medicaid and health services. 31% goes to education.
Okay, got to cut you off right now, because our time is up on that. And you can come back to that on a subsequent question if you want to. While we're discussing that, a big expense for a whole lot of people, some in this room and certainly in the listening audience, is college tuition. The legislature decided to deregulate that a few years ago, and look where it is now. And while certainly that is something that helps our economy here, that is a hardship on many people. Are you in any way in favor of replacing a tuition cap?
I don't know that I am. I'd have to look at that a lot more closely. But let me tell you where we are in that regard. Some of the financial aid that we give to students is paid for those kids by those kids who are in middle income bracket. The poor get help. The middle income people don't. The higher income people don't care. But right now it takes about $400 per student at A&M to pay for some of those grant and aid programs that we have. I think that's a disservice. Yes, I would like to find a way to pay for them, but where is that money going to come from?
Okay. Josh Wilkinson, then, same question for you, cap on tuition.
Well, I see higher education as an investment in society. Those who have degrees are more productive. They pay more taxes. They cause less trouble for society. And as such, I think we should look at it as an investment in the community. And if we're going to, you know, put a tax on tuition, you know, of course, we have to figure out how to pay for that. You know, A&M's putting up buildings left and right. They have a lot of expenses. But again, these are some of the things that we can address if we look at government differently. I think, you know, the Republican Party has traded good government for this notion of small government. And it's not working for a lot of us. And we need to go back and reevaluate how we see society, what's important to us. And, you know, a few years ago, Vice President Biden said, "Don't tell me what your values are. Show me your budget and I will tell you what your values are." And that's how I see what we're doing in Texas.
Josh Wilkinson, I'll stay with you. The Rainy Day Fund, we think today, is about $11 billion. In your view, how should that be used?
I think it should be used for rainy days. But, you know, I think it should have been tapped to address some of the things that went on with Harvey, with the rebuilding in Harvey. Perhaps we should use it towards the dike they want to use out there. I like having that amount for emergencies. Again, we have a lot of money left on the table. In fact, we could, you know, we've refused Medicaid expansion, which would help out a lot of people as well. It'd help out counties, people who can't afford to see a doctor. So I think that's the wrong question. I think there's lots of revenue streams that are going intentionally untapped by the state, and we don't have to look at the Rainy Day Fund to address a lot of these issues. We just have to make sure that we have those who are making a ton of money in our state to reinvest a lot of that back into our state and our community.
Okay, thanks. Now I'm going to parse this question a little bit for you, John Rainey, because twice Josh has mentioned that there is Medicaid money that's out there on the table that Texas has refused from day one. Go ahead.
Exactly true, because we have the 1115 waiver and we're getting some money for that. Now, whether we're getting as much, I don't know.
Well, the vast majority, it's true, it's not coming here. And the state of Texas, I think, is in the courtroom right now saying that the Affordable Care Act is illegal. And so
that's
for that
correct.
Reason, they don't see that they should be taking this money.
I have agreed with that. I think that we need to rein in the federal government, and that's one of the ways that we hope to do that. Tax dollars come from you. Yes, we have paid into that, but tax dollars come from you. How many of you out there want to raise your taxes? Raise your hand. I'd like to see you. Because there's two people out of maybe 100. Most people don't want to have their taxes raised, and I think that's an important thought. That's why we elected the people that we have elected so far in the last few years, was we're tired of paying big taxes. What we need to do is use our resources better. Now, 17% of the budget is all the money that we really have to work with. All the rest of that budget has already been dedicated to being spent in a particular area. We could do something is make that do away with all those dedicated funds, and then we could, I guess you could say, do a zero-based budget and find out. I can tell you right now that would stir up a lot of trouble with the people that are in highways. It would stir up people with in the education industry. It would stir up nearly every group of people because...
Okay, our time is up. Yep. You can come back to that in a minute. Josh, do you want to respond to him again on the not accepting the federal money?
Well, you know, you don't pay income tax in the state of Texas. The taxes you pay are sales tax and property taxes. And those are the things that you're responsible for. You know, we could raise those if we wanted to, but it's not necessary. Again, I want to go back to, there's a lot of money being made in this state that the legislature is not tapping into. And it's leaving the state as well. These big multinational corporations, other corporations, are making a ton of money here in Texas, and they're sending it away, and they're not paying the taxes they should be. And again, we're not asking the people to pay it directly. We're just asking what's fair. If you're going to come into Texas and you're going to use our resources, you're going to, you know, take advantage of our trained workers, our our college-educated workers, our roads, our infrastructure. You should reinvest back in your state for better workers, better infrastructure, better education, health care.
All right. Opportunity now to ask your opponent a question. John Rainey, do you have a question for Josh Wilkinson?
I would just like to know what you propose to where the money will come from to help the state pay for a bigger share of the public education dollars.
I tried to make that clear this the whole time, that lots of big business. We're all in agreement that Texas is a great state for business, and businesses are doing very, very well. But the people are being left behind. And there again, there's this disconnect where we believe in this notion of small government to the detriment of the people. And it doesn't seem fair to me that businesses come into our state, use our resources, take advantage of our educated populace and our infrastructure, everything the state provides, and they don't do much else to reinvest or pay that back, pay it forward. And that's all I'm asking. And that's where I think the money should come from.
All right. Your turn to ask.
Okay. Well, I've been hesitant to ask this yet, and it hasn't come up, John. But I would like to know if you're in favor of anybody reintroducing House Bill 2225 in the next session, which, if you don't know, 2225 is also known as the baby jail bill.
Well, help me with
the
that.
The baby jail bill.
Okay, help me with
it,
that.
So this was a bill that Representative Rainey introduced, and it was a way to address the Central American child immigrant problem.
I would like to know what you called it.
The baby jail bill?
I don't think it was a baby jail bill, and let me tell you why. That bill was brought in to take families who had come across the border, put them in a facility until they could go through that two-week period and then determine whether they were going to be released or not released and wait for their time to go before the court. It was not a baby jail bill. It was a protection bill. Those were people who were coming in here and were subject to all kinds of disruption in their lives. They educated them or gave them training while they were there. They provided them food. They provided them clothing. The baby jail bill is an absolutely false name.
Who wrote the bill and who would have profited most from it?
The bill was came to me from someone who represented one of those jails. I don't mind answering that question. But it was to help and protect those people. It really is. The jail still operates. The main thing the bill did was give the state the right to go in and make sure those children and people were being taken care of in a legitimate way. That was all it really did. It didn't do anything else. The jail still is there because of the federal government. And I was trying to make sure that the state of Texas and Child Protective Services were able to go in and make sure that they were being treated in a proper way.
So would you be in favor of reintroducing that again next session?
I don't know whether I will or not, but that'll wait and see what happens with all the immigration stuff that's going on with the federal government.
All right, let's do closing statements. We'll begin with John Rainey.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be here. We have a wonderful state and wonderful community, a place that I think we're all proud to live in. Let me say that just think about this a minute about raising business taxes. Now, we may need to be juggling it some, but when we raise those business taxes, we may be driving some of those businesses out of the state, and then we don't have good jobs. So let's look at that and think about it. Our lives are better because of low taxes than they would be with high taxes. And I think that makes sense to me. Do we need to spend more money on education? Absolutely. Will the commission come back with some suggestions? I have heard some of them, and I think we will. I'm looking forward to serving in the next session. I would appreciate your vote, and I look forward to meeting with you on an individual basis as you bring forth the needs that you have for our state. Thank you very much.
Closing statements of John Rainey. Now the closing statement for Josh Wilkinson.
I want to thank the Chamber. I want to thank WTAW and Scott for this opportunity to address the audience. I started this about 14 months ago. Again, it was because of where we are in this country, in this state, and it's not. We can't continue to go on this way. We're divided so much that we can no longer accomplish the people's business. We're falling behind in healthcare and in education and in so many other areas. And it just seems like some folks in the state legislature, in state government, don't care about the welfare of the people anymore. And I'm running to put the people first and foremost. Thank you for your time.
These are your candidates for State Representative District 14. Thank you for being here tonight. We'll turn our attention to the County Commissioner Precinct 4 race in about 2 minutes.